chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I am thrilled to have Luigi Calabresi on the show today. Luigi is the president of Frontier Networks. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Luigi, it is so good to see you.
Lisa, it's great to be here.
So you and I have met through YPO.
Yes.
And for our listeners that don't know about that organization, Young Presidents Organization. But the cool thing is you are in Toronto and I'm in St. Louis.
Yeah. And it's minus 17 degrees Celsius, which we did the math together. It's 1 degree Fahrenheit.
I'm telling you, I think it's about 19 degrees here. So we're a little bit warmer than you are there. But I told you when you and I met, I started my career at McDonnell Douglas. I remember my first experience with Toronto was being there on a 2-week audit. And I experienced my first professional hockey game. We went to see the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I just remember coming back and telling my husband, oh my goodness, we've got to go to hockey. It's so much fun. They get in fights and yeah. It's really fast moving. So you and I talked a lot about hockey. I mean, if you are in Canada, most likely you play hockey, right?
We do a good job with hockey. You know, what's interesting, I started to play hockey as an adult. I turned 30. And I joined a men's league and I was up to 3 games a week. And you would assume that I would be good at that point, but I was never a good player. I still am not a good player, but I advocate well for everybody to play the sport. It's fun.
Well, you're humble, but that's awesome that you picked it up at the age of 30. So, you know, speaking of humility, I mean, my assistant, Jenny Hill, said, Luigi is such a hoot. He is so funny. So you're the president of Frontier Network. Obviously, we've already talked about YPO, and I know that you've held some leadership positions in YPO. You say you're a paper cut survivor and an all-around nice guy. I apologize to no one, and for that, I'm sorry.
I think people take this stuff far too seriously, and I, you know, I just said, you know what, guys, here's the tone of my personality. Have fun. You know, it's not for everybody, but it's generally fine. It's for most people. So,
yeah, I love the whimsical nature of that. So I know, Luigi, that you have spent your whole career in technology. You didn't grow up in Toronto, though, right? You grew up in another town in Canada, right? So tell me just a little bit about how you grew up.
It was interesting. Small mining town. And you know, when you graduate from, you go to high school, you graduate, you go secondary, you graduate. I got out in the middle of a recession. And it was interesting because I looked at really what my options were. And option number one, well, you better move out of town. Or option two, if you're going to stay, you got to go find something. And in the middle of a recession, it was kind of interesting. It was not easy. So I was pretty much right on the cusp of starting something because I figured I got to do something. And if there's nothing to do, I might as well boot something up. But as it happened, very quickly, I had registered with a headhunter who had put my name forward for a role for a software company, and I wasn't put forward. So, you know, absence, nothing, 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 nothing. Eventually, I just kind of picked up the phone, called the president and said, hey, And as it happened, we ended up meeting. And as it happened, I got the job. And I guess in a what was a sales role at the time, that's a good skill. That's how my career started, was I took a risk. I did a lot of that when I was young. And I think it was because I was hungry and I literally wanted to figure out how to pay for a car.
That was your motivation to get a new car?
Yeah, because I wasn't literally hungry. I kind of somehow there was enough money to live. But I just wanted to reboot as a real adult. And in order to get there, I knew what I had to do. And that's my first memory of Favor of Fortunes, the Bold, I guess. That's kind of stuck with me from the beginning of time. So when I talk to young sales recruits and other people, we're really just a bunch of humans having human interactions. So I get a lot of sales calls in a day and I don't mind them. I mean, people get a hold of me. I'm sure you're probably a nice person. I'm sure you have a decent product. I'm sure your boss is grinding you to make this call. So, okay, what do you got? Let's have some fun. And sometimes I'm in a different mood where I'll have a little bit more fun than I should with them. But
right.
And often I don't want the product at all. But certainly I'm not slamming, hanging up the phone guy. But when you double click my personality, you know, time is valuable. So I don't have any of it to waste. So these interactions are fun and brief, but the focus is brief. But that's Sudbury. So I had the high-tech role in Northern Ontario back in the early 90s, and there weren't that many. And when you remember what technology looked like early on, it was mainframes going into client-server type metaphors. So I was stuck in the middle. I was working for a company that did it the really old, old, old way, recognizing that there were new cool ways. So, you know, one day I sat in my president's office and, you know, we were talking and I made a comment and I kind of thought, well, these are the things that probably get guys fired. Like, we have to innovate. We're not. There's a bunch of things that are problematic in our formula. And our recipe is in desperate need of an update. But, you know, I had a really good president and he said, keep talking, tell me more. And then it was vulnerability where he said, I agree. So then together we said, well, what are we going to do? And the answer is, I don't know. Anyway, fast forward, it's a topic for another day. What did we do? But what we did was really amazing. It was a pure topical reboot. And, you know, today when you look at what the company is, because it's still there, I think they're doing an incredible, wonderful job. But it's really humbling to me because a lot of what I still see them doing today is what I remember doing probably back in the early 90s. And I have to congratulate them because, you know, in the rinse and repeat, keep doing what you're good at formula, which is what they're doing. I think they're crushing it. But it's the original management. The original guy is still the CEO. He hasn't sold out. So I think that's probably one of the indications of that. So,
yeah,
you know, that was me in my earliest of my 20s. So
can I stop there for just a minute and pull out some lessons here? You know, from going back, and I'm thinking about young people, if you are looking for that first job, you know, going back to not hearing and you picking up the phone to call the president, say, hey, remember me? You had the conversation, you had the meeting, and then you got the job. I love too, you were willing to take a risk because you're sitting there going, you know, there's some things here that I think could be improved on, some innovation that we need to do. This could be the kind of thing that could get me fired. But you had the courage and the boldness to go and present that. And then to that president that you were reporting to, it's like, wow, kudos to him for listening, right? And for having that humility to know he didn't know everything. There's so many life lessons just in these few little things that you've shared. So go ahead. What else were you going to say? And then I've got a lot of other different questions that I want to ask you.
Well, I guess you fast forward a bunch of time later and my root learning is allow risk taking. That's got to be number one. We have staff. We hire them. They're wonderful people. They're very talented. The last thing I need to do is to diminish their talent. I think the whole idea is I'm supposed to amplify their talent. And that roots into culture, which I so desperately try and create. And it's so very, very, very important because I realize everything that we're ever going to do that's going to be amazing will come out of people and not some corporate idiom or a bunch of words on a wall. So it does root to individual contribution.
You know, Greg, my husband, and I co-founded Technology Partners, and we were just talking last night. There's a CIO here in St. Louis. His name's Mark Brooks with Centene. He just won the CIO of the Year Leader Award here in St. Louis. And one of the things that he said in his acceptance speech is, I am there to guide ambitions. that was just so poignant, you know, because really, to your point, you're not there to squash their talent. You're there to amplify, to help them. You know, obviously their ambitions need to be in line with what the company needs.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're there as a guide, not and to empower them, not to squash them. So I want to ask you, Luigi, one of the things that you say, I am drawn to fixer-uppers with a decent foundation. Tell me a little bit about that. I have the ability to tear down walls, build bridges, and light fires.
Here's what it's come down to. I guess I realize at this point in my career, when I look back, I never walked into something that was kind of established. We always walked into a transition. Some of the most innovative work we did was something that we all did as, it was never a startup. I've never done the startup thing. But what we did was kind of an internal reboot, a repositioning, or a let's do this versus that. I always look at elements of available disruption or disruptive technologies. How can we do something differently with the use of technology that makes it faster, better, and cheaper? So, and I'm being very vague on this, but you know, whether it's building better broadband or how we provide safer security solutions in a business, a lot of it roots down to affordability. And, you know, a unique attribute of Frontier is, can we work with clients and explain stuff in such a way so it doesn't sound so traditional and technical and overwhelming and intimidating, and all of that bundled together creates expense that's avoidable. In your business, Lisa, and your husband's, you know, IT is interesting. I've been in IT all my life. And when you double click me, it's a business background and probably more of an accounting knowledge than tech. And then you fast forward me a bunch of years later, I'm a lot more tech than I ever was accounting. You know, the role of traditional IT in a company, mine included, we really got to empower them and bring them to the management team, because it isn't about IT infrastructure peripherals anymore. These are people who have to be rooted right into the life cycle of every process that we have. How can I digitally innovate every step of this business? How can I avoid hiring the next person in exchange for a series of automations that will make it faster and more amazing for our clients to get support? I always look at things the old way. For example, you know, when you have a support issue, you pick up the phone, you sit on hold forever. There are absolutely better ways of doing it. And a lot of the innovations Frontier is doing is, we need to anticipate when you have a problem before you even know you have one. And we need to already be rooted and logged in, trying to figure out what's going on. And let's figure out a way to get some messaging and communication to you to let you know that we're on it. So it's this notional cloud hanging over systems, processes, and people to let customers know that, yeah, this is different. I literally don't need to pick up the phone and call you. I sense that you're at the other end and you're doing a bunch of things. And what I've just described sounds really great, but it needs people. It needs creativity. It needs imagination. And then the last thing it needs is tech. And everybody will think, well, that's all tech. I'm like, no. Tech will not do itself. If the people don't create the vision and the opportunity and the passion behind, I want to provide service better and differently. And if you don't do it better and differently, yeah, just outsource it to a third world country. I'm a strong opponent to that. I've always said, I think we should have an international workforce. Sure, let's hire people from everywhere always, and let's get amazing talent. But let's not just outsource touch points to low-cost markets. Let's use innovation to take us to the next step.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that question because we know that in tech, for sure, if you're not innovating, if you are not moving to the next level, you're dying. So how do you look at innovation? And I know that this may be somebody else's words, but I read that you don't really like the out of the box, you know, thinking out of the box kind of vernacular. So how do you think about innovation, and why is it so important for companies to be always looking to improve?
When we look at our market and our world around us with what the hyperscalers are doing, you know, what is Amazon doing? What is Google doing? What are all of these innovative companies doing? And then I look at other companies that they're innovatively acquiring, but they're not innovating. They're just acquiring and they're assimilating and they're putting prices up. So I'm always kind of quick to distinguish between the two, which is, at some point you have a client and you want to take care of the client. And I think for us, we just keep re-asking the question, how are you? How are we doing? Is there anything else we can do to help you? And it's such a simple statement, but the answers you get back, if you're really, really listening, And if the culture of listening is there, that's where the innovation comes from. It comes from our clients all the time. And equally, it comes from our staff, who often will come to us and say, I wish we didn't do this anymore, or I wish we did this a different way. The way we were doing it is pretty inefficient. I know we've been doing it for years. I wish we would change. So we have to encourage that type of stuff. So for me, innovation really is 85% listening, and it's not so much researching and Googling and observing what others are doing. We really have to ask the questions.
I love that. That is so rich, and it's so true. I've always said, if you want to know where your business needs to go, ask your customer.
Yeah.
Because they will tell you, you know, and to your point, you got to listen. You got to listen and then be willing to adjust if it makes sense. So we do need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with Luigi. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to take a second and tell you about something our team at Technology Partners can do for your business. We have spent over 2 decades partnering with organizations and helping them solve their IT needs from a 360-degree perspective. A huge part of how we solve those needs is by developing custom applications of all shapes and sizes. If your team is looking for software and an out-of-the-box solution just isn't right, it's time to consider how we might be able to help. Go to tpi.co/custom apps and learn more about our awesome capabilities. So welcome back, everybody, to the Something Extra podcast. Luigi, you know, I didn't ask you this, but I want you to have the opportunity to tell us a little bit about Frontier Networks, and then we'll get into some other things.
Frontier sells a product that 100% of companies acquire, which is broadband. And then what we do is we surround broadband with a range of other layered services on top of it. But broadband in all of its forms. If you're a national retail organization and you have a chain of convenience stores or a chain of clothing stores or whatever, our business is connecting corporate offices to data centers, to retail stores, to create and operate a 100% availability network to make sure that payments, processes, and other applications, all the Internet of Things, everything that's happening, security cameras, credit, debit card transactions, everything keeps flowing. Large organizations with single location benefit from companies like Frontier because we can deliver any scale of internet bandwidth, small, medium, large, extra large. But our sweet spot, we're the company that people talk to when there's multiple locations, often multiple jurisdictions, offices in the United States, offices in Canada, offices abroad. Because what we find is, you know, everybody can do a good job delivering broadband to a single location. But when you start to introduce the variability of multiple locations, and during COVID, a workforce that's highly distributed, it starts to shrink the crowd a little bit. So Frontier does a particularly good job with broadband. We've interlaid a really integrated voice on top of that. We've merged, and I believe we're the only company that's doing a good job of this, the network security combined with the physical security, because I do think the two go together. We're worried about protecting our core assets, but we stop at the cyber and we don't pay attention to who's accessing critical areas of the business that shouldn't be. And then you sprinkle some of the new cool artificial intelligence and the learnable AI that's there. And that's the stuff that we're trying to bring to the table. You know, we're a single point of contact for small, medium, large enterprise customers, single, multiple locations who want to connect up their buildings. And the elephant in the room is the serviceability touch point. We service customers very differently than signing a contract with a large incumbent phone or cable company. Because once that signature happens, the rep disappears. You're now relegated to the back of the line, unless you happen to be a top tier bank. And even so, it's things move very slowly. So the Frontier experience is really more about ability to get serviced well. We move at a faster pace and a trust. There's a lot of trust that filters into this. Companies pick us because they believe we're going to do a good job.
Yes. Well, I know for you, because I've read this about you, I've talked to you about this, you are obsessed over the customer. And you and I have talked about this. If we are not obsessed over the customer, we are not in business, Luigi. You know, that's why we exist, right? Is to serve the customer. And I know for you, that is super important.
People are going to do business with people that they like. And it's hard to like people that they don't know. So when you go to the hellofrontiernetworks.com website and you look at what we do, when you go into the support areas, there's a pretty aggressive collection of escalate now, or, you know, how to speak to the executives, Because, you know, as much as we have our systems and processes and we think everything works well, every once in a while, we want to give the client an opportunity to just reach out and cut through and say, look, I need some help. I have a unique situation. I'm worried that we're not on top of it properly. And I want the executive team to be highly aware. And I want them to be available. And I want them to be visible. And you know what I found is no matter how big we get, it doesn't hold us back. In fact, the opposite happens. The more available we are, the better things are. In fact, we do sometimes make mistakes.
Absolutely.
And when the executives jump in, things fix themselves faster. And it's there where we find out where you really see the test of a flawed process, which ties into a comment about revenue you and I have spoken to offline, which is
one of the
best ways to flush out a bad process is to put it to work and test it. I've watched so many people, and you know, when I looked at Frontier in its earliest days or previous careers, I watched people endlessly create process diagrams and mapping everything out. And I'm watching them. I'm like, have you ever done it? And they're like, no, we just want to obsessively talk about it. And I've said, take all of these documents and throw them out and start by experiencing your own product for yourself. Live your process through the eyes of your client. Ask them for constant feedback. Let them know what they tell you, because your own personalized, biased observation of how great you are is very different than asking the customer for their observation.
Right.
We build amazing customer relationships out of some of the most terrible feedback that we get. And they trust us because we learn. We hear it, we agree, and we change.
Right. And Lucia, you said something that the executives are available. When the executive gets on the phone with the customer, what does that say to the customer? I matter. Wow, I'm important to this business.
It's intended to be that. Our clients who know us well, we realize the executives are not the smart people here. The smart people here are the support team, the management team, and all the staff that we have. So it's great. You know, give me a call. My name is Luigi. I'm the president. I can make anything happen. Well, but the reality is what I can do is I can move a boulder or two, and I can fix a roadblock. And I think that's the one use of my skill and my talent is more making time efficient for the client. So yeah, my one job is I grab the ticket ID. I take a look at it really quickly. I go right into the depth of our escalation team and we look at it very quickly. What is it? What's going on? Why are we here? And why is the customer not aligned with us with respect to what is the root cause and what's the fix? So we just have to create alignment. And we want to do that, honestly, within 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. They call us. We get off the phone. We get to work. We call them back within 10 and say, okay, this is exactly what's happening. And you know what? It's like, wow, I can't believe you did it. I'm like, wow, I can't believe others don't.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. That is so good. I know, Luigi, that you are, because you and I have talked about this, you're a man of faith.
Yeah.
How has faith played into the way you lead? And then I would also love for you, just in practicality, even some stories, if you've got anything, because I know our listeners that are faith-based leaders are always like, how do you compartmentalize that? You know? And I'm like, no, you know, it's who you are. So how do you integrate all of that?
Well, I mean, you know, good for you for bringing it up, because everybody wants to shy away from the territory, but it's fun to talk about. I mean, and by the way, faith in all of its forms. I mean, I have many friends, many clients, many of my staff, they all have different alignments and different beliefs. And I, you know, part of it is just trying to be respectful to certainly all of it. And then sometimes people ask me about my own, but you know, I'm a little kid from Sudbury, Ontario. I was an altar boy at one point. So I went to a Roman Catholic high school, all boys. You kind of get trained, but you know, faith is something that sits in the background. And every once in a while, you have these moments in life where faith, you know, you draw on it. My single key learning at this point is the recognition that all people are beautifully made. So you look around at your clients and you look around at your staff and you look at people who you have good and even people that you might have bad relationships with. Conflict with a vendor over a supply chain issue or something. Part of what we've got to figure out is let's make this about people and personalities and less about processes and impairments and other things. So to me, privately, it roots to one thing. I think people are all beautifully made. I think we have to treat them with the respect they deserve. And I think if you always lead with kindness, you're going to get amazing results back. I think sometimes even to the point where people are surprised, like during the height of a conflict, when you attack it from a level of kindness. It's something I've been speaking to for really quite a while. And, you know, every once in a while we have tension. We have it here too. But I got to make sure that I introduce my humility. I've got to make sure that I constantly get reminded that I have to remain flexible. I say I encourage creativity, but I got to mean it. So when people take risks and fail, I have to have their back. I have to be loyal. Trust matters. So where do all those words come from? You're not going to get trained on this. This is not a YPO Harvard event that we all went to, came back and said, okay, I got it. No, I mean, this is stuff that we probably were taught when we were young kids. And like you, like anybody, some of my best learnings have come from my biggest sufferings.
Absolutely.
Loss of dear friends, terrible incidents in life, the will to continue, the will to not give up, the will to go on. Every time we face an obstacle. I mean, where does that all come from? It's not luck. So that's my fast answer.
There you go. Speaking of fast, I know that you are on a water fast right now. You do this on a regular basis. Can you tell me a little bit the background? Why do you do it? What benefits, what health benefits do you feel like you get from that? You said it really encompasses everything, spirituality, physical.
Yeah, it's probably something I do 3 times a year. Or I do it when I feel like I need it. And I won't talk about water fasting. I think anybody can just Google benefits of water fasting. And it's an amazing thing. For me, it completely clears my mind. It gives me a level of energy that is absolutely fantastic. But I think the key is I use it as a reboot whenever I need it. And people always ask 2 questions. Number one is, can you eat anything? I'm like, no, it's a water fast. Literally, you eat water.
Water.
And you stop all your meds. If you're on blood pressure meds, you stop them. If you're on cholesterol meds, you stop them. You let your body do the stuff it's supposed to do. So that part's pretty cool. I've been doing it for quite a while. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy the results of it. I think if we're going to biohack and age hack and all those things that we're going to do, we should probably just figure out the way our bodies work. And I do this medically assisted. So it's not something I do on my own. I speak daily with a physician. How are you? Is this happening?
I was going to ask you that. So make sure you're talking to your physician. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, particularly if you start going, you know, into day 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, which personally I've never done. The furthest I've ever gone was 11 days. But the level of energy you get is amazing. You know, people always assume, you know what? I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm groggy. Well, that's your day one effect. Like there's, you know, it's like we're all the same. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's hard to make it to dinner because you're hungry at 3, but how are you able to go 7 days without food? So it's just your body is cleaning shop. It's just getting rid of the garbage, getting rid of the bad cells, fixing and improving the good cells, making sure the battle is being fought on, and that's it.
I love it. I have to ask you, this is called something extra. What do you believe, Luigi, is the something extra that every leader needs?
I mean, if I use my own example, and there's a lot of leadership styles and there's amazing leaders out there. And I don't even know that I would put myself in the category of an amazing leader. There's a job I got to do and I get it done and successfully, seemingly every time. And we have our wins and we have our losses. So we've got to celebrate the wins and we got to not get torn down by the losses. But I think it roots to a bunch of key words. Number one, continually showing appreciation, continually cheerleading, listening, which is my single skill that I have to constantly develop because it's the first skill we lose is our listening skill. And I've noticed that with myself over the years too. You know, you achieve a level of success and you stop listening and you speak more. I'm constantly stopping that habit. I'm in a tech organization, so my speaking style here is constantly talking about taking risks and changing things. I had a management meeting today, which I have every Tuesday at 9:30 a.m., and part of it is a reminder in 2022, which is stop doing things you don't want to do, push towards automation. If there's anything that you're doing that's inefficient, that can be outsourced into a cycle or a script or an automated bot or something, do it. Because it'll be done faster, more repetitive, and cheaper ultimately. And the quality is much higher. Because when we're doing something we don't want to do, the quality does go down. So I'll always remind everybody, like self-assess. But anyway, that's it. That's my less than fast answer. answer.
I mean, if you're doing something that can be automated, why continue to do that? You know, and always look for how to improve. And, you know, I was just reading something this morning about micro habits, you know, and it could be an incremental little improvement, but incremental improvements over time can have big results. So I love that. Well, what are you excited about? Anything coming up for you or anything that you want to tell our listeners about that they could possibly get involved in?
Well, you know, Frontier is doing some amazing stuff. How we kind of go to market, we do it three ways. Number one, we speak directly to corporate end users. And number two, we have a wholesale channel, which is really exciting, where there's companies who would conceivably have the opportunity to buy products from Frontier and offer them to their clients.
Okay.
And then number three is our growing network of sales agents that we have, which I'm really excited about because it gives us access to build our family of more diverse representation right across Canada, deep into the United States as well. I'm super pumped by that. I think that's exciting. There's an awful lot of people, and the conversation I have with many is Frontier is that partner you want to have when you want to just grow old and retire together happy.
I love it.
We get rid of that, oh, every 3 to 5 years, it's not working, let's fire them and get somebody else. We want to be that partner that we just grow old together in a happy state. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. Now, there's innovations and technologies that I'm excited about. Yeah, you know what? But there's always innovations. There's always technologies. So,
yes.
You know, in 3 years, I'll be more excited about the newer innovations and the newer technologies. But you know, it's kind of like the launch of the iPhone, the very first iPhone. It was the biggest, best. And I mean, today you look at it, it's terrible. But the path of excitement is relative towards the growth of the technology. So
if there's anybody out there looking for a new career or looking for their even first career, make sure that you check out Frontier because it's an amazing place with Luigi at the head. And that's great. Well, Luigi, thank you so much for making the time to be on the show today. I know how busy you are. And so this is just really fun, fellow YPOer. And I am looking forward to watching and continue to watch the journey at Frontier.
That's outstanding. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.